Faith Uncut, a podcast where we explore faith in ways that might get you kicked out of most churches. I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.
And your man, Kanye, has released yet again another album. He's a musician, and he has a gospel album out that started lots of debate amongst the interwebs about...
A lot of conversation.
You know, what is this? Should we be listening to this?
Right.
Have we forgotten about who Kanye is? And then it starts an interesting question about Christian redemption.
Okay.
And what that looks like and who is entitled to that.
So
we figured we talked about Kanye before. JW was with us and that episode is called This Is Kanye. And that was right after the TMZ incident. But again, Kanye is Kanye and we're back.
Okay. So in the past few days, his new album, Jesus is King, was released, and I kind of had mixed feelings about consuming it, but when we decided that we would discuss it, I had already been exposed to some reaction pieces and a small clip of an interview he did, so I was just like, okay, I'll take one for the team and take a listen.
You're better than me because I haven't been on social media. There hasn't been any pressure saying,
wow,
you should listen to this. And I was like, do I want to listen to this? The answer was no.
So
the only thing that I listened to, I looked at the track listing and I saw Fred Hammond was on there. I was like, what is this? Let me see.
Yeah.
So I listened to that song.
Yeah.
I didn't really care for that song too much.
But so I wouldn't say, it was more so like a preview. However, I did that just to be fair, because I feel like I've been in the boat of kind of just hands off new Kanye anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't really given much life to the previous, his secular album. You know, now he has a gospel album, so his secular album, Life of Pablo, but I heard mixed reviews about it too. So I was just like, okay, you know, I'll take a gander. I don't think the music is that great, but you can still see, as somebody who stepped away for a second, it's like, wow, he still has that talent. Like, he's a great producer.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of shines through. It was almost refreshing to hear his sound, but then as soon as you put that sound to words and put it within the context of his actions and his mannerisms in recent time, I mean, you're left with this conundrum of a view of a man. I don't know how better to say it. Like, you see the conflict. You definitely see the continuation of a void in his life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there. And you don't want to broad brush it and you don't want to overstate it. I'm not in his life personally, but you can see the presence of that void in his life. I am concerned about him. Just the imagery and the power of his presence in the culture and in the conversation. He's canceled, but he's still here. You know what I mean?
He's not going anywhere. He doesn't agree that he's canceled.
You know what I mean? But we've even talked about that. Like, what is cancellation? So it goes back to your question about Christian redemption. But like, he is persistent. And I have my thoughts and feelings about this project and about how he is presenting himself right now, but I don't know. The one word that keeps coming to the forefront of my mind is conflict. Like, it does not seem like it's calm. It does not seem like it is without controversy. It just seems like it is conflict laden.
Yeah, I think Kanye forces everyone to confront the reality that human beings are complex people.
Yeah.
And there's no one way to be. I mean, you are who you are in that moment, depending on what you are doing, what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting when that idea is paired with Christian redemption, because this is a gospel album and it leverages what Christianity produces as one of its chief exports, and that's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And grace says that everyone is entitled to redemption. Everyone is entitled to a second chance or forgiveness, or no one is outside the bounds of God's reach. And so it doesn't matter what anyone has done as long as you make that turn. And so if we think back, our memories are sometimes short now, but I mean, R. Kelly went down this path, and after the Happy People album. He had a gospel. It was a gospel second, a double album. The second album was gospel. This was after the allegations were really hot and heavy, and tapes were out and things like that. And so I think the song, the single from that was He Saved Me, or You Saved Me. Going down the route of, you know, I should be forgiven, or I want to be forgiven. That's a human response to things that aren't right. And I think in Kanye's case, we have to ask ourselves the question, at least from a faith perspective, is Kanye worthy to be forgiven? And that's tricky because we're not the ones doing the forgiving. So we want to assume that God has forgiven him, and so we shouldn't have a problem with him.
Right.
And the things that we use to justify that are things that we'll talk about later in this episode. But the debate seems to be around the fact that Kanye is Kanye, but Jesus can save anyone. I've heard things like, you know, this is just good gospel music. It's good to hear gospel music. And so for people who love gospel music, this works for them.
Yeah. It might work for them. But again, I just think that there's this collision between what people say is their art, or what people say is their professional output, versus their personal beliefs. And that's where this conflict is taking place. I don't think anybody has made the argument that Kanye does not deserve to be venerated as old Kanye because somehow his music is not whatever, whatever, whatever. I think that we are having this conversation around the fact that he is articulating positions on issues that have become unpopular, you know, or have become controversial. They're not even unpopular as much as it is there's so much space for debate and asking questions around, you know, which way is the right way. And then I think that as a community, we are very concerned that because of those positions not always being with the majority of what we might think that, you know, Black people are thinking, or even Black Christians are thinking, that he is at risk of being puppeted. And the puppeteering of people who have such a strong sway over our culture, or such a strong like marking point where we know what the Kanye sound is. We know what his talent has brought us. When you see that level of person opening themselves up to that risk, I think that just brings up to the forefront all of these things about not just redemption, but what does it mean to be safe? What does it mean to be able to express yourself freely? You know, what is the risk and the cost of doing that? It's not just one facet to this that can only be looked at through a Christian or a gospel lens. Like,
so in your analogy, who is pulling the strings of this puppet, if that's what Kanye is?
You just don't want to make it sound too simple, but I am a person who believes in the structures that persist around supremacist thought and action. So this is not to say that everything that befalls Kanye is the fault of anything having to do with his racial or ethnic background. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is it cannot be ignored the value that he holds to entities that would want to make a minstrel show out of his talent and his presence, to carry messages that would not otherwise penetrate the community if it weren't for who was carrying them.
So he's the one that could wear the MAGA hat.
I feel like that. Yeah. Like,
yeah. So I think Kanye is indicted by his own words. I mean, at this point, I think for the most part, Black people are feeling like Kanye does not care about Black people, which is what he said about George Bush, but his actions have said about him in the last 5 to 7 years. So in judging him by his own metric, he's the problem.
Yes. I mean, I'm not. So there that is. You know what I mean? I feel like certain things just have to stand on their own. I think I'm just conflicted because there is so much discussion around what position should be the proper position. You know, what does it mean if a man cannot express himself freely, even if these are his beliefs? But the problem is that, again, if you are used to carry water that otherwise would not penetrate, that otherwise would not poison the well, you see what I mean? People not going to listen to certain things except for the fact that their idol said it, or their favorite producer said it, or their favorite troll said it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to You have to be able to understand where your locus of control is, whether it's internal or external. So yes, on the record, he has done enough where we can just say Kanye is being Kanye. But does he yet still have the presence of mind to understand when other forces are at play and are literally positioning him against everything that we think would benefit the next person who shares his experience? And that's when you really have to get into the fact that we ain't all the same. Like, obviously his life experiences are such that he is content to have these beliefs and not necessarily, to me, show any compassion for where those beliefs will fall so short for people who look to him to hear him, you know, to hear what he has to say.
Mm-hmm. I think Kanye is, in addition to forcing us to face the reality that human beings are complex, what he's doing, the way he's existing now, is also challenging a notion that we have that Christians are good, and claiming Christianity is also claiming something about yourself. Mm-hmm. When in reality, Christians are human beings. And because we're human, Christians are bad and good, depending on what you do in that moment. Definitely. And so claiming this mantle of Christianity, having these gospel services to try to connect. First of all, the gospel service spectacle that is going around the country, having these services, is insidious because it's leveraging something that we hold dear for the purposes of regaining some credibility or faith in him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Now, I haven't been to one of these services. Right. I didn't go to that mess at Howard or anything like that. But I just don't see how you go from doing the things that he's done and saying some of the things he said, like we talked about last time in the TMZ episode, to now saying, okay, I'm going to go into this sacred black space and I'm going to be able to relate to you because my talent allows me to move you, which is what a lot of the black church experience is about. Yeah. If you're able to create that moment and ignite people to consider something bigger than themselves, it doesn't matter, you know, who's doing it or what's going on. If it's done well, which we're so used to things not being done well, if it's done well, then we can get with it. And you have a person with all of the production resources at his disposal. Yes, it's going to look done well. That would be the same thing like if the Russo brothers that made the Marvel films made a Christian movie. Everyone's going to love it because the polish on it is so shiny that we just have to gravitate towards it. We've been looking at these bullshit Kirk Cameron films for all this time. We're sick of it. Now somebody makes a real film. That's kind of how. Now, that's not to disparage gospel music. There's a lot of good gospel music. There's a lot of good gospel hip hop. I'm not gonna name names, but there's a lot of gospel quality. Mm-hmm. But in terms of that reaching that church on a Sunday morning, that's not always the case.
Right.
So I think Kanye is leveraging something that is not his to own for the purposes of using it as a vehicle to enter the people's hearts again. Maybe he did find out that out there in that world, those people don't really care about him like that. They don't want those leather jogging pants. They don't want that shit.
Okay. So my thoughts were that, you know, sometimes when we see somebody who we can visibly see has experienced trauma, or we can visibly see is having a very difficult time navigating the intersections between their social and emotional, you know, personality, navigating issues that they might be having with their health and with relationships, right? We tend to try to understand, you know, what the person might be lacking or what the person's shortcomings are through the lens of, you know, who didn't do something for you. Consuming this music and, you know, these other things, I just started thinking, you know, okay, so what do we say for the people who we think actually did right by us? Like, what were their actions? Because I do feel like the enduring lure, the enduring attachment or attraction to Christian faith and Christian worship and Christian praise is that there's this idea that there is a love-based relationship with Jesus Christ that fills voids, that overcomes things that you don't tangibly have, to the point that these become our, you know, our cliche sayings: mother to the motherless, father to the fatherless. He's doctor in a sick room, he's lawyer in court. Okay, like, you didn't have a lawyer. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, but Jesus worked it out. Okay, so, and we see these things, or these, this provision of this presence, or these facets of relationship, as here's yet another demonstration of his love for us. And one thing that came through in listening one time, okay, is that Kanye is saying verbally, Jesus loves me. And he's equating Jesus's love to fill in the voids when he did not feel the love coming from people, the community, and, you know, how people reject, have been rejecting his actions and his words. Okay. So it just got me to thinking, like, okay, so how have you ever been loved tangibly in your life? I think that's an important question. Like, we're thinking about, why does he behave a certain way? Why does he say certain things? But does this persistence of being outspoken, does this, is this what love looks like to him?
Well, I think from our perspective, yes, because this started out with Black people buying music. Mm-hmm. And so he saw that that worked, and that propelled him to a certain level of stardom where he's touring, he's, you know, producing for other people, you know, we're buying his music, you know, Jay-Z produced, I mean, music that he produced for Jay-Z and things like that. So it was music first. That's where the adoration came from. Mm-hmm. So he was like, well, what else can I sell them? So he tried to sell us these wrinkled $400 t-shirts, $450 t-shirts. Right. We wasn't buying that.
No.
So he tried to sell it to somebody else who actually had the money to buy it, and they weren't buying it. So it's, it, then it comes to a point that then we, you know, well, between then we got the Yeezys. So now you got these expensive shoes that not everyone's buying. Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of poking at the exteriors of, all right, well, what else can I get them to buy?
Right. What can I get them to do?
That's how I feel like this is happening now, because the attempts have been made. Now the attempt is, will they buy
gospel from me?
Mm-hmm. Will they buy not just gospel music, but the idea that I'm like them again?
Is he like them again, though? Like, my biggest concern is that if you get too nuanced and too wrapped up in your own definition of love, other perspectives can't come in, you know, or your own definition of relationship. Other perhaps healthier perspectives cannot come in. One of these, like, you know, you hear a snippet of something, you're like, oh, what? Mm-hmm. So he was given this interview and since releasing the album, and he was talking about how a song concept had come to him or something, but he was touring the Midwest because he was looking at, and he said very flippantly, because we were looking at buying 4,000 acres out there. And I said, oh, right? Because that is a non-controversial statement. But in listening to critiques and reaction pieces, people have been talking about the cult quality to what he's doing. Not saying that he is actively behaving or trying to start one, but this idea that you can now put on the cloak of Christianity and come back in and have these services and use the music and attract people to the singing and everything else. And what is it that you are trying to do? Because those Sunday services are not just concerts. You're singing, and then
you're speaking.
Then you're speaking, and mm-hmm. it's the things that you are saying when you are speaking that chase you. Changing R&B lyrics to gospel lyrics is something that I think all church kids did.
Yeah. We've been doing that poorly since the 90s.
Yeah, so that's why you're good at it. So, so that's not really the demonstration or the stretch of talent, or, you know, this idea of reaching our Christian hand into the community and, you know, attracting more souls to Christ. We've been doing that for years. Mm-hmm. It's what you're saying after you get people kind of not, I don't want to say whipped up in a frenzy, but in the position of openness, trying to receive mm-hmm. and, you know, even a worship stance. What are you doing with that power? That yeah. is.
So I think he's consuming it. And I think to answer the previous question, that's, I draw the parallel between what we've been consuming from Kanye to mm-hmm. what he understands as love with respect to our relationship to him. Now, he may have had some other relationships with other people
right.
that have displayed a different type of love, but his relationship to us has always been based on what we consume of him. And so for a while, when we weren't consuming anything, that is robbing, in the concept of starving American him. Gods, that starves the God of yep. their power.
Yep.
And so without the worshipers, you don't have anything.
The power.
And so now we're back into a situation where he's potentially found something that we will consume again.
Mm.
And that power is returning. And so you're getting things like, all right, we're having these church services and you'll listen to me again.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's coming back out.
Right. So it's like I said, it's just like the American gods concept where these gods came to America, the old gods, and then their worshipers stopped worshiping them and went to other gods, technology and media and things like that. And so who serves the god of the old god Odin or anyone like that? No one says their name anymore and the gods lose their power. That's what this feels like with respect to Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Washington Post had an interesting take on this debate, and I was surprised to see this posted by another gospel artist.
Okay.
No names. We're not firing shots today.
Yeah, okay.
But the article was titled, Jesus is King, Kanye West is Tax Collector.
Mm.
Okay. And it was a take comparing Kanye to the biblical character Zacchaeus in Luke 19.
Okay.
And so it raises these questions about how to perceive this. Like in evoking the story of Zacchaeus, it's basically saying Jesus, even the tax collector, Jesus went and hung out with. Now, just to clarify,
mm-hmm.
the tax collector during this time was the traitor. So Rome levied taxes against all of its subjects. And the Jews that were in and around Jerusalem at this time were the subjects of Rome. So they would levy these heavy taxes. They didn't have a lot of money anyway.
Okay.
Now, Rome wouldn't come to a mirror and say, your taxes are due.
Mm-hmm.
They would hire these third party contractors to go out and tax the people because there are no W-2s now. So they have no way of knowing what you own, because you're taxed on your goods, you're taxed on your land, and you're taxed on the heads in your house.
Okay.
Okay. So that's an eyes on type of tax. So you have to have someone in the community that looks and basically serves as that snitch to say, all right, Rome, this is what Amira has. This is the tax that she should be paying. And that third party who is responsible for paying the tax would die. So they make sure that they contract out the subcontractor, which says, I've done the legwork. This is how much you should have. This right. is how much Rome thinks you're going to have. You need to get this back. Zacchaeus was either the subcontractor or the middleman, the third party contractor,
because okay.
it's Luke, the writer in Luke says the chief tax collector. All right. Either way,
mm-hmm.
no one wanted to see Zacchaeus coming because they like, this dude gonna snitch on us. We don't want him to see anything that we have.
Just, right.
So that's the role that Zacchaeus had. And so when Jesus comes and he says, you know, Zacchaeus, I see you up there. Let me go to your house and eat. It's this big moment because they like, how you gonna go eat with him? You know, he gonna snitch on you, Jesus. Like, I mean, Jesus didn't have anything, but it's just like, yo, that's
right.
he's not one of us,
right.
and so you're going to be with him. All right. So the problem I had with a comparison like this is in the article, it wasn't taken all away. It was like, well, if Jesus did it, then we should be able to do it.
Mm.
Jesus ate with the sinners. We should be able to eat with the sinners. It doesn't matter who they are. That's not what happened. Like,
right.
it's not, if you read the story, that's not how it went.
Right.
So what happened is Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house and they have a meal. And Zacchaeus says, you know what? I believe in you.
Mm.
And because I do, I am going to repay the damage that I've done.
Mm.
To anyone that I've defrauded, I'm going to repay four times what I've done to them. And then right after that, Jesus says, because of this, today, salvation comes to you. Kanye ain't done none of that. That's what I'm like. So it's hard for me mm-hmm. to just adopt a Christian story that makes us feel good about something when we know that there's a component there that has not occurred. That there's
right.
Kanye never came back and said, you know what? I really did mess up. when I said 400 years of slavery sounds like a choice.
Yeah. And he's saying some wild stuff right now.
Anyway. Right. So this is not that. This is not a Zacchaeus situation. So then the question becomes, do we apply these verses that we want to pull and proof text, you know, cherry pick about forgiveness? Mm. Do we just give these out and ignore everything else about repentance and what's required for anything like the turning away from, the apologizing, the restoration, yeah, and things like that, that the person is responsible for?
So you definitely know what's at play for some people is accepting the apology that they didn't hear, which is to me a conditioned response that helps you just kind of move forward in a situation, mm-hmm, because you want to. And maybe you're not as mad as you used to be, or maybe you're deriving some confidence or even some peace from appearing to be or being the bigger person. So you move on in a forgiveness that wasn't fought for, mm-hmm, or that wasn't even really requested. But again, people are not going to treat these idolized people in our, you know, in our pop culture. They think they're different, but they're not. You're going to have an exercise relationship, even if it's just from a fan's perspective, the same way you exercise and understand relationship in your interpersonal relationships, right? So some people are walking around accepting an apology he never offered, okay? That's, yes, making them feel better, yep, about themselves. Some people are going to realize, or might be wrestling with right now, that if you are going to require those types of redemptive steps from actual people that you have relationship with, that have made you feel a certain type of way, mm-hmm, why wouldn't you require that level of redemption or some sort of demonstrative apology from someone that you say that you like, mm-hmm, that you care for, someone that says that they like their fan base, or however, you know, that idol position, or that, I don't want to call them idols. They have professions, they're artists, they're people. But, you know, if you look to this person and you're saying, I am in this type of energy exchange, this relationship with you, well, is it okay for you to treat me any old type of way or tell me any old type of thing? And, you know, and I just accept that. If you accept it from Kanye, from fill in the blank, famous person, actor, singer, you know, whatever, you accept that from your family member. You accept that from, you know, friends based on criteria that you, mm-hmm, don't have to share. Like, that's just how you are. Mm-hmm. So the short answer is no. You know, you don't just give somebody something. You got to understand what people are asking you for. So that's like, that brings me back. He didn't even ask for, mm-hmm, it. And this is kind of what comes through. At least what kind of jumped out to me was that he was kind of in your face, like, Jesus loves me. I don't care if you do.
Then you don't need me.
So, but you don't hear that until you have put it on your stream or whatever, mm-hmm, and you're previewing the music, and like, and it's, I kind of felt like even the guest spots were like people who showed up and said, like, I'm a super Christian. Like, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I'm coming all in the room with my ability to pray for you, my ability to understand, to minister to you. Like, I don't feel like it was Fred Hammond by accident. I feel like it was Fred Hammond in the fullness of the ministry that he represents. Like, I'll do it.
Yeah,
I'll work with Kanye. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think, and again, this is very new work. We are pretty timely with this episode. So if people kind of turn this over in their minds and again, consume, because we try to consume things so fast and come up with opinions so fast. Like, I found myself thinking about the artists who I know have parted with him in public, but I could almost envision them playing a certain songs on pianos in their home, mm-hmm, because it's good, but you just can't support it, you know, mm-hmm, or you can't support him doing it for reasons that will never be shared with us. Because some people know this man, or used to know him as a friend, something like a brother, and his behavior is appalling to them. Mm-hmm. That is completely different from those of us who are saying, you are saying irresponsible, unfounded things that harm the community. But we're all in this boat together. Like, I think we want for him to improve, to want to get better, to want to give a damn about the push-pull of this relationship. But this ain't it. I don't think this body of work is where he really laid on the line that he understands the value of the relationship that he's been allowed to have with his with the community.
Yeah, this is the person that cheated on you and just showed up like nothing happened. Like, oh, yeah.
You didn't even say nothing.
Let's go get some ice cream. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like you know, I apologize because I'm here.
Right. So we have to confront like how the different facets or ways we implement our faith kind of continue to uphold white supremacy. And this is one of those ways where forgiveness has no cost or redemption has no price. And that is antithetical to what actually occurs in the Bible. So if you're going to judge it by that, you have to ask yourself, does God ever require anything of people, or is it just handed out? Because we know it's not just handed out. God says things like, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, if you do all these things. Now, I'm not protesting. I'm just saying just over the arc of the Bible, the people are required to do something in order to obtain.
But we've talked about that. We have said.
It's either before or after. So in the case of Israel, God brought them out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
But then required all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you're in the camp that the requirements occur before or after the grace is extended, at which point do we require these things of our artists and people that we love? Because for me, I'm like, yo, there's people that are doing great things that I don't have to worry about all of this stuff with.
Right.
I don't have to worry about it, whether they're selling something just to get me to consume it and add to their own power. So I'm looking at Kanye, even in times like this. Like, he gave an interview on Beats One after this album. This dude said he is unquestionably, undoubtedly the greatest human artist of all time. And I'm like, dude, you're not ready for redemption. You just being yourself.
Yeah.
And that's who he is.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm thinking, This is not for me. This is not a stab at redemption or anything. This is a stab at reclaiming something that was lost by his own hands without issuing any type of mea culpa for what was done.
So instead of apologizing, we got a gospel.
Right. So, I mean, take it if you like it. But I will not. For Faith Uncut, I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.
For more on Faith Uncut, check us out at faithuncut.com.